The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Thursday, we will premiere ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, which is an unprecedented look at last year's WNBA season in the bubble in Florida. It's exec produced by our own Chinne Agumuke, explores the season dedicated to social injustice and everything the players overcame to get through it. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, and it's available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. Meanwhile, people enjoying the show today, Chad Wilkerson tweets, Neek and RC need their own segment. Got me cracking up. And who's Biff again? They're laughing. Guys, you're making everybody laugh with obscure references to old movies today. Exactly the kind of thing people would usually make fun of me for. And somehow, Dominique, you guys have made it cool.
Get that man off Twitter. He don't know who Biff is? Scram. I like the tweet right, up until exactly. He said, who's Biff? You don't know who Biff is? There's only one Biff.
Go ahead, Nick.
I think what's more important is Biff is Peter McConville. That's who Biff is. He is chasing us around, not allowing us to change history. He is on us. He will not allow us to be great. We can't finish the prom the right way. We can't make sure mom and dad stay married. All because of Peter McConville.
He's the CP of the show. Welcome back to another hour of Get Up. As always, we come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Here comes the menu that these two guys will completely obliterate over the next 60 minutes. We're getting up with AD ASAP. A dominant performance. But is it too little, too late for the Lakers? You'll see. Meanwhile, a legendary voice assigning blame in the debacle surrounding Aaron Rodgers' departure. You have to hear what he said and figure out who's right. Plus, four star QBs dominate the division. Which one emerges on top? That's the question. We've got the answer as we get up with you, starting right now with the performance of the night. LeBron watching his teammate Anthony Davis dominant in a performance against Phoenix that could be a foreshadowing of an early NBA playoff matchup, early first quarter. That's Andre Drummond. That's Anthony Davis, the big man to the big man, the alley and the oop. Lakers take a 7-0 early lead. Later in the first, still, Lakers up a dozen, and it's Davis working baseline. He had double figures in the first quarter for the first time since his return from injury, and he was just getting started. How about on the defensive end? Jay Crowder, I don't think so, says Anthony Davis, coming up fast from behind and making the block. Davis getting things done on both ends of the court for the Lakers. Later in the second, up by 14. Lakers. Anthony Davis working on Frank Kaminsky. Yes, he had 22 at the break. Lakers up a dozen. Third quarter, the lead is 15. And it's Anthony Davis doing it from the inside. It's Anthony Davis doing it from the outside. Count all three of those. He had 34 in the first three quarters. And he wasn't done. Fourth quarter, Lakers up 10. They still need more. And he's got it. That's Alex Caruso throwing it up. And it's Davis throwing it down. AD, 42 points. 12 rebounds, blocked three shots, and the Lakers get a win they needed. AD coming on strong.
Just because we're a lower seed, we're not going to back down from anybody. We're going to come out and play Lakers basketball. And I think teams know that and fear that as well. What I've seen from LeBron today, he'll be fine. Trust me, he'll be fine.
Well, we will see. They're going to need both ends of that. After last night, they're a single game back of Portland for the sixth spot. Remember, the all-important sixth spot keep you out of the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. Our analytics still foresee them getting there, winding up there, I should say, a 45% chance that they wind up in the play-in. And so let me bring in my favorite dynamic duo, and that is the big fella Kendrick Perkins and the not-quite-so-big fella Zach Lowe. And let me just start with you, Big Perk, on that. Anthony Davis. Is that the formula? Watching him play right now, the way he's getting on a roll, can he be the best player in the Western Conference playoffs this year, Perk?
Yes, he can, G. And look, a healthy Anthony Davis is the best big in the game today. He's so skilled. We haven't seen a guy like him. He's a generational talent. And look, I could get into his offensive package all day long. But I'm going to talk about his effect on the defensive end. Being able to guard 1-5s, chase down blocks, anchoring the defense. By the way, DeAndre Ayton had nightmares last night. He was tossing and turning all night. And you take this Anthony Davis with a 75% LeBron James, and they can have a playoff run deeper than the Mississippi River.
Well, that really is the question, Zach. If we don't see – if LeBron comes back and is as close – well, let me just make it as simple as possible. Are we seeing the formula? Is Anthony Davis good enough to be the best player on a championship team right now?
Yeah, I think so, especially if the second best player in this series is LeBron James. And as Perk said, the entire Western Conference, which was wide open and uncertain, if they watched that game last night, they're looking around like, uh-oh, everyone kind of forgot about these guys. If these guys are going to play like this, it's trouble. And I'll tell you what, the juiciest game left on the schedule is Phoenix against Portland this week, because if Phoenix goes all out in that game, and I suspect they will, they can try and knock Portland down to 7, let the Lakers get to 6. It's like Phoenix has a chance to almost pick their opponent if things get right for them and knock the Blazers down.
And that's not the team anybody wants to play. But let me just say this. We're all talking about the performance of AD. It happened last night. But yesterday, Zach Lowe, I spent the whole day having people talking to me about the performance of Steph Curry from Saturday night. And that sort of sticks in my head, Zach Lowe, the idea of a one-game single elimination scenario, if you will, against Steph Curry. That's not fun for the Lakers or anybody, Zach.
It's fun for fans. It might outrate all the playoff games, but yeah, that is not fun for the Lakers. Look, the Lakers are better than the Warriors, but I'll tell you this. You look at the Warriors since Wiseman went out and they're playing more small ball. With Steph and Draymond on the floor, they're plus 7 per 100 possessions for the season. Even more than that, much more when Wiseman's off the floor. That's the profile of a really good team. It's not just Steph who has gone scorched earth over everybody. It's that they have found an identity again. They make sense. And yeah, you want one game against Steph Curry for your season? No, thank you.
What do you think, Big Perk? That could be the scariest thing the Lakers face the entire way.
Well, Granny, first of all, I'm always jealous of guys that got colorful eyes, just like you and Steph. And I, you know what? Look, let me say this. Steph Curry is like Michael Myers right now. You do not want to see this guy down a dark alley. He is waiting on everyone. Right now, he's playing the best basketball of his career. And that's crazy to say. We're talking about a two-time MVP. He is zoned out right now, Greeny. And Zach Lowe, I'm agreeing with him today. I'm starting the week in on a positive, the week off on a positive note. I'm not going to yell and scream. Zach Lowe is absolutely right. Playing Steph Curry for a one-game elimination to the play-in tournament is not something a lot of teams want to see.
It's got to be the scariest thought that they could possibly have. Guys, sit tight with me here as we're going to get started this thing. The playoffs start in a week, and we will need a lot from this dynamic duo. Thank you, fellas. Meanwhile, let's talk about another superstar, and that superstar is named Aaron Rodgers. His future with the Packers continues to be the center of all the conversation, including Friday when former Packer coach Mike Holmgren, who won a Super Bowl with Green Bay in 96, went on ESPN 1000 in Chicago and said this.
Listen, this is the second time the Packers have gone through this. They went through it with Brett, too, when they drafted Aaron, ironically enough. And with a franchise quarterback and a guy as good as Aaron, you don't treat all the players the same. I can't imagine the relationship between the coach or management or whoever's making the decisions and a star quarterback like that getting to this point. I wouldn't allow it. It wouldn't happen.
So it sounds like he's assigning blame. So, Ryan Clark, I'm giving you the floor to begin. Where are we assigning the blame in the mess that currently is the Green Bay Packers?
You know, and I know what Dom's going to say, because this is the second hour, and he was talking about his boy, Lil Goody, and he says Lil Goody made some good decisions when he came to the team, and he's actually right. Brian Gutekunst has tried to do exactly what he needed to do to help the Green Bay Packers be good going in the future, that they would have a quarterback once Aaron Rodgers was no longer their quarterback, and their team would be positioned to be good around him. But he missed the present. And the present was making sure that your future Hall of Fame quarterback, who eventually became the MVP the year after you drafted his replacement, was talked to, right? Felt like he was someone you were considering in your decisions, because right now he's in the twilight years of his career. This could be the best of the last of Aaron Rodgers, and you're wasting that away. And you're not wasting it away because you're not trying to win. I understand that Brian Gutekunst wants to win championships. Brian Gutekunst wants the Green Bay Packers to continue the legacy that was started with Vince Lombardi, but not talking to Aaron Rodgers, not letting him know what your future plans are on how you want the Green Bay Packers to move into the future, also how you want to maximize his present, was the issue. And that you have to blame on the GM, Brian Gutekunst.
So, Nick, let me talk to you a second. Okay. Here's the difference between Lil Goody, Young Goody, I forget now which one is it.
He's both.
Which prefix are we using
it's
for him?
Lil
it doesn't
Goody,
really
Young
matter.
Goody. Sometimes he likes Gucciarelli. Go ahead.
Here's the difference between him and us, right? 2 years ago, he thought that Aaron Rodgers was basically coming to the end.
Right.
And Dominique, 2 years ago, you and I thought that. We had that conversation on this show, Dominique Foxworth, many times. Yeah. Thank you. Many times. And the difference between him and us is, if we're wrong, there are no consequences, right? We just get to come on and say,
exactly.
We were wrong. How
we
great is this? He's great again. If you're him, your job, you are not judged by whether you thought you were right at the time or not. You're judged by whether he was right or not. And Rodgers wasn't done. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think you're right. And I love the safety of this little box that I'm in. I can yell all my opinions and it don't matter. I get people to laugh. It's so much fun and safe in this box. But I am trying to be honest. I defend Aaron Rodgers' right to be upset and to get traded. And I do think that if you're critical of my man Lil Goody, the criticism is that he was not managing the emotions of the situation. And that's something that all managers inside and outside of football need to understand, is you're dealing with humans, not robots. And you have to manage the emotions of the situation. However, I still stand by the fact that I believe that he made the right decision. Not only was Aaron Rodgers below average by QBR the season they drafted Jordan Love, he was below average by QBR the year before and got injured the year before. So you're looking at that. You're recognizing that your team is not as good as you think. They went 13-3, but they were 6-1 in one-score games, and their defense was heavily dependent on turnovers. So you look at that and you say, man, it's time to move on. That was a smart decision. And the last criticism that he gets a lot of is not drafting receivers in the first round. You don't have to draft receivers in the first round. That's the highest bust potential of any position, and you can find great receivers later in the draft. So my man Goot made all the right moves, but damn, Aaron Rodgers still got it. So it hurts, but he was right.
Graziano.
Well, I'm glad Dominique's been listening to literally everything I've been saying for the past 2 weeks on this and finally has caught up. But that's nice. Brian Gutekunst is thinking about the future of the Packers. Like Mayor Goldie Wilson, progress is his middle name. And he has to make sure
that the Green Bay Packers
continue to make that progress. And you can't just look at Aaron Rodgers after an MVP season and say, hey, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Because that's not going to be good enough to keep the Packers competitive in the short term. It's a very difficult balancing act right now. And where it goes, we're still waiting to find out. The next step in this is whether Aaron Rodgers is willing to sit out training camp, sit out games, etc. And once he starts showing that, I think that's when the Packers get serious about trading him.
Don't explain one word, Greeny.
Rodgers said it himself. Okay. He said, I threw a monkey wrench into their plans by playing so well. That is what happened. We'll take a quick break. We have so much more of this as we continue. Coming up, it may be the best division in the sport with four-star quarterbacks dominating. Which one emerges on top? Predictions on the AFC North as we continue. And then, speaking of the best players, Steph Curry, another amazing performance over the weekend. Is he the most entertaining athlete in sports today? The debate is on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up. Let's play a game called Who Will Win More Games? Dan Graziano, Patriots, Dolphins this year. Who wins more games? Dan Graziano doesn't hear
Miami
me.
Miami Dolphins. They won three more games than the Patriots did last year. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't this year. Patriots don't know who their quarterback is. The Dolphins do. I think that gives the Dolphins a leg up, and they already had one coming out of last season when they were the better team by kind of a lot.
Graziano, that's well done. Neek, meanwhile, Washington football team or the Dallas Cowboys? Who you got?
I got to go with Washington, the city that I'm in. Unlike RC, I'm going to pick the city that I live to win more games. I think everyone knows how much I love Dak Prescott and how good their offense is with him under center. But I ain't seen them stop nobody in several years. They've been putting a product out there that you could fuel the DeLorean with, and you can't win like that. So unless this defense gets better, then I think that Washington's defense is going to carry them to more wins than the Cowboys.
RC, Steelers, Ravens, who you like?
Listen, if I'm going Steelers-Ravens, I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think the Ravens are just a better team. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they now are going to sit at number three in this division with the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens, fighting to lead the AFC North. This is a long way from where we all started this thing, but this is where it is now because they have quarterbacks than the Pittsburgh Steelers do, and I really never thought I'd be saying that.
Well, it's a really interesting little setup there. And let me bring in the Juju quotes here. We can put those up on the screen for you. Juju Smith-Schuster was talking about the AFC North, which I think you could defend the argument is the best division in the sport. And he said, look at the quarterbacks, guys like Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Ben. I think every team is getting to the point where it's like, man, they're really good. So his premise is the AFC North is the hardest division to win right now. Again, I think that's right. With the Bengals improving and the other three teams, depending on what we think of Pittsburgh, looking awfully good. So, Dominique, I would ask you, who's the team to beat in the AFC North?
I think it got to be the Ravens. Yeah, they've been the team to beat for the last couple years. I think what Cleveland has done in the offseason has been impressive, but they're going to have to do it in the regular seasons. The Ravens got away with that big, what is it, Thursday night game where Lamar had to thank Miss Lisa, and it was kind of nip and tuck right there. They could have lost that game, but I think that you got to still give it to them until we've seen proven otherwise.
Yeah, it was a Monday night, if I recall, and it was he came out of the locker room after having some sort of digestive issues, to the best of our knowledge. And
thank you,
throwing a game-winning touchdown. And the rest was history. RC, who you got in the AFC North?
Listen, I have the Browns. Much like Chuck Berry had a cousin named Marvin Berry that led the Starlighters, they also have a little cousin named Andrew Berry that's the GM of the Cleveland Browns, and he's done an amazing job throughout the entire offseason. Think about this, what you did on that defense, knowing that it was a liability last year. You've now made it an asset. You've made it a positive. And obviously, we saw what Kevin Stefanski did with that offense. That run game is punishing. You add Anthony Schwartz to now have someone that can take the top off of the defense. Plus, you have, obviously, Jarvis Landry working in the middle and Odell Beckham Jr., who is still one of the greatest talents at the position. What they've done in the secondary, being able to go all over the place, and you heard Dominique Foxworth mention a Owusu-Koramoah, who fell to them in the second round because of some medical issues. I think that this team is stacked. I believe that they win this division going away by one or two games above the Baltimore Ravens.
Ooh. Graziano, how about you?
I like the Ravens. I just feel like they're the wrong team to underestimate year in, year out, right? I also feel like if the season had been like 3 weeks longer last year, they would have been in a lot better playoff seating. They were coming together at the right time. So I think given a full off season, the history of that coaching staff, a quarterback that was MVP a couple of years ago, and they continue to try and build around him, love everything Cleveland is doing. I would love to pick Cleveland, but I think there's more on the Ravens side that's proven, so that to me gives them a slight edge. I don't think anybody's winning it, as Ryan Clark would put it, going away.
Come
my
on.
My pick is the Browns.
Two games and is going away.
What?
I think what? That going
Two
away becomes
going
a relative
away?
Term. But I think the Browns are the team to beat here. And
out
isn't it
17?
Fascinating that we are living in a world right now where the Pittsburgh Steelers at one point were 11-0 last season. And now, here we are, no one picking them to win a division that they have basically owned for a very long time. All right, let me leave that there for the moment because we have a special guest who is standing by and is ready to go with us here any moment is what I'm being told here. And he is ready. Dustin Johnson, He reclaimed the top spot in the official World Golf Rankings last August. That was a week after the PGA Championship. He has held that spot ever since, a stretch of 38 straight weeks. He finished second at the PGA last year, as well as finishing second at the PGA the year before. So he joins Jack Nicklaus in 64 and 65 as the only two players to finish second at the PGA in back-to-back years. And last year, he finished first in three of the 14 events he played in, took second an additional pair of times. One of his tournament wins last year was the Travelers Championship, where he finished 19 under par. And the Travelers Championship is coming up. And DJ doing some PR for them today and good enough to jump in here for a couple of minutes. Dustin Johnson with us on Get Up. DJ, thank you very much for taking this time here. And let's talk, if we can, about the PGA. That is the major on the calendar. We mentioned how well you played there the last couple of years and came up just short. What is the one most important thing you will need to do to win that championship in 2 weeks? I'm a touch concerned that DJ doesn't hear me. I base that on his lack of responding. We'll see. And either we have the longest delay in the history of broadcasting or he doesn't hear me. That's the sense that he does. That was a pretty sure sign that he doesn't hear me. So let me see what we can do here. He's now laughing, so it's possibly. DJ, do you hear Greeny? If so, raise your hand.
I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, way to go. This is television in 2021. Okay, DJ, you were second in the PGA each of the last 2 years. What's the one thing you need to get right in 2 weeks to win that championship?
Playing in Kiawah, I'm going to have to do everything right. It's a really tough golf course. You know, obviously, first and foremost, need to drive it well. And then, you know, from there, you know, if you can get the putter kind of hot, then, you know, obviously, I feel like I'm going to have a really good chance.
You know, you won the Masters last year in a unique setup with the Masters coming in the fall. And I've heard many people say that winning a Masters championship changes your life forever. Can you give me an example of that? In what way did winning the Masters, have you seen it change your life already?
It definitely does. It's really hard to explain, but it's definitely, obviously, it's something that, you know, every golfer, you know, strives to do is win the Masters. It's a, you know, it's an incredible, you know, event. It's, you know, one of the, for me, it was the major that I wanted to win just growing up so close to there. But, you know, it's, you're kind of part of a club that, you know, you can't get in unless you win the Masters. And yeah, it's just, you know, it's incredible and it's an amazing feeling. And obviously there's a lot of things that go along with it. And it definitely is a life changer.
You also get to go to a dinner that you can't go to otherwise. And when you are the defending champion, you get to plan the dinner. I've always been fascinated by this. How much time, energy, and thought did you put into planning the menu for the Masters dinner?
A lot. It's, you know, it's tough because it's all your peers and obviously some of the greatest golfers that's ever played this game. So, you know, you feel like you want to serve some food that everyone's going to like. And it's, you know, it's kind of tough to pick a menu with it, you know, 30 or 40 guys are going to like, but I felt like I did a pretty good job and everybody enjoyed the dinner.
Well, I'm up against a break here, but I will do this another time soon and hopefully have a little more time. DJ, thank you very much. Good luck at the PGA in a couple of weeks. And again, the Travelers Championship brought DJ to us today. Thank you very much, Dustin Johnson. Let me take a quick break here. Coming up, Tom Brady is the GOAT. But would he be the first player taken if we put every player from the last 25 years into the same draft? RC had a fascinating tweet about that. We will talk about it as we continue. And we've got Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. Here we go. Who's the only player to win Offensive Rookie of the Year and the Super Bowl in the same season? The answer on the way.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up and back with Sneaky Hembo. Here we go, Graziano. Who is the only player to win Offensive Rookie of the Year and win the Super Bowl in the same season?
I don't know much about the history of the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. I know Roethlisberger won it. Did they win the year he won it with the year he was a rookie? I don't think so. I'll guess Roethlisberger, but I don't think that's right.
That's not right, and this is when I thought you had a shot at it. Tony Dorsett. The legendary Dorsett of the 77 Dallas Cowboys. That one seemed fair. Sometimes Hembo throws these questions at you that I think are totally unfair. But guess what? The margin has closed. Yeah. This one is like a good game, 21-20. Hembo just needs to kick an extra point, or maybe he'll go for the two and try and take the lead on the year-long standings with Dan Graziano. We bring this up because the Pittsburgh Steelers made running back Najee Harris the 24th overall pick in the draft, the first running back off the board, and he's someone they desperately needed, looking to improve on a running game that ranked dead last in the NFL in 2020. And so I bring this up not because I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but because I'd like to see if anyone wants to change my mind about this. I've said many times drafting a running back is a good idea in the first round, not a bad idea, and it is my opinion that Najee Harris is going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award this season. Dominique Foxworth, do you want to change my mind?
Well, offensive or running the ball is more dependent on the number of players you have in the box and how good you are at run blocking. Because Ben Roethlisberger can't attack downfield the way he used to, the box is going to be loaded, and the Steelers also are not very good at run blocking. So I'm not sure how you think Najee Harris is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I guess he's going to catch a lot of passes, but I don't see him having some sort of game-changing season that gets him this award. Sorry, Granny, did that work? Did I get you over to the smart side?
Oh, ye of little faith. Ryan Clark, the former Steeler. Najee Harris for Rookie of the Year. What say you?
Not happening. They always want to give it to quarterbacks, and they're going to do their best to give it to a quarterback.
That's true.
And if you think anyone's ever not going to let Trevor Lawrence win the Rookie of the Year, you have to be out of your mind. Now, do I think his rookie year ceiling would be Justin Herbert, right? I think that would be, if he plays out of his mind, that's where he'll be. And if he gets anything close to that, Trevor Lawrence is going to win this thing. They used to just try to put him in New York every chance they got in college, even though he wasn't supposed to be there. We've been having him as the first pick since he was in the eighth grade. So if you believe all eyes won't be in Duval to watch Trevor Lawrence do anything slightly good and give him Rookie of the Year, Greeny, you are out of your mind, and your genius will not be appreciated once you're gone.
0-2. Dan Graziano, what do you think?
0-3. You can watch those Najee Harris highlights and hear Doc Brown saying, where we're going, we don't need roads. But running backs do. They need holes to be opened in front of them in order for them to get the yards that are needed to win an award like Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I just don't think Najee Harris is going to find in Pittsburgh the same kind of open roads in front of him that he did at Alabama. So I just don't have a lot of faith in
that
Pittsburgh offensive line coming together in time. Exactly, right? I don't think they're going to get it together in time. Even if they do get it together as the season goes along, I think that at the very least we have to expect the newly configured offensive line in Pittsburgh to take some time. And because of that, I think it's going to be tough for him to pile up those kinds of yards.
Let's check back on this one in October when Najee Harris has taken the league by storm and is leading the league in rushing after the first month of the season.
Ooh,
meanwhile, my favorite thing that we do during the football season is when Ryan Clark explains his tweets. And he had one this week that isn't the usual kind we explain, but it might actually be even more interesting. RC tweeted, "I believe Tom Brady is the GOAT. He's had the greatest career at the most important position in the sport. With that in mind, I wonder if he would be the number one overall pick if we put every player from the last 25 years in the same draft." Ryan Clark, explain that tweet.
Listen. listen, when I look at Tom Brady and what he's accomplished, after this last Super Bowl, to me, he put the greatest of all time conversation out of reach. Even if Patrick Mahomes wins four, wins five, which I thought was all he would need to be in that conversation or overtake Tom Brady because of his talent, I don't think he can do it. To go to a new place, to be the GM of that team, to bring that team to a Super Bowl after they'd only won one in the history of their franchise. But if you put him in a draft, would you take him over Aaron Rodgers? Would you take him over Patrick Mahomes? Is there some skill player that you would take before? Is it a Randy Moss? Is it a Calvin Johnson? Before Tom Brady? Even knowing what we know, if you put GMs in the room and you gave them 25 years of players, would we take Tom Brady first overall? And I think if they were being honest with themselves, they wouldn't. And that's extremely interesting in the greatest team sports of all time.
I totally agree. Certainly that it is interesting. But Dominique, do you agree with the premise? If you let all these guys decide, you put everybody in a hat, 25 years worth of draft picks, would Brady go number one?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you could throw Peyton Manning in that conversation also. I think you would get no argument whether he's the greatest of all time, but is he the best? I think you would get plenty of argument there. So I believe in Tom Brady like I believe in science. But if you're looking at true talent and building a roster around somebody, what RC just said was right. This is the most kind of team-dependent game out there in a position that is very dependent at quarterback. And Tom, it's not basketball where you just put a guy out there and it completely changes the rest of the team. I think the guys that you would look at, the names
but
that
that's the thing,
RC mentioned.
Dom.
Go ahead.
But that's what's crazy. You brought him to Tampa and he completely changed the team. Right? Like we've never seen a football player.
But I agree with you. However, if you look at the way that he played, like, it wasn't because of him. Maybe we're arguing that it's some intangible presence that he brings that made that defense play better and made that the rest of everybody around there work better. But if you look at that playoff run, like, Tom Brady wasn't special in that moment. It wasn't like we saw some like what he did against the Falcons in that game. And again, you look at the Falcons and maybe think they had more to do with that than Tom Brady did. It's hard to have this conversation without people thinking you're taking something away from Tom Brady, but I think we're trying to have a factual conversation. Like, he's the greatest. No one wants to take anything away from him, but he ain't the best.
Here's why I like it, RC, and Dan, I'll come to you in a second, but it is the perfect distillation of what is wrong with the process, which is that these guys would start overthinking it. They would start looking past the tape. They would they'd look at the game film, but wait a minute, how about the cone drill? We need to look at the cone. Aaron Rodgers, much better at the cone drill, and by the time they got through the cone drill, they would talk themselves out of Tom Brady. He's still running the 40 from 23 years ago or whatever it was, and they would talk drafting someone who didn't put as good a stuff on film. Graziano, what do you think?
Yeah, they'd line up to take Mahomes first overall, right? Because you look at the eye-popping ability and you imagine what can be done with – what can you can do with Mahomes is different from anything anyone's ever done before. So, yes, I think and that may be the right call. It may be that Mahomes ends up winning more. But Greeny, your point is absolutely correct. I mean, all Tom Brady has done is play football at an incredibly high level for a long period of time. And, you know, Dom, you can look at the playoff run and say he wasn't great, but he was also like 1,000 for 1,000 on third down in the first half against the Saints, right? I mean, like, he was great when they needed him to be, and I think the overall confidence that he brought to the team definitely had an effect as an intangible that mattered, but people don't draft on that. And so you're talking about a hypothetical draft. You draft the projection, you draft the ability, you don't necessarily draft the all-time work ethic.
You're not wrong about anything that you said, but then you started talking about all these things that you can't measure. And Greeny's talking about looking at the tape. If you look at the tape doesn't suggest that Tom Brady's the best. You're talking about stats. Look at the stats, the number of Super Bowls. That's what suggests that Tom Brady is the best, not the tape. If you break down the tape, there are things that other players can do that are better than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is still the greatest of all time.
So who do you take, Dominique? Any player in the last 25 years, Nick, who you got?
Oh, I take Ryan Clark. I want that mentality on my team. I'm building my team around a dude who don't care
you
about
are
himself.
Worse than Brian Gutekunst is this.
Man, I mean, RC cares about winning a game more than he cares about his own well-being. That guy's who I'm building the team around.
I like it.
Hey, you're going to be just like Goody Mane.
That's fine.
You're going to be just like Goody Mane.
Me and Goody Mane are going to be unemployed. That's fine. We were unemployed, but we did it our way.
That's exactly what I was thinking. As we continue in just a moment, Steph Curry with another amazing performance this weekend. Is he the most entertaining athlete in all of sports. I'm putting together a crew to debate that next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and did you see Steph Curry put on a show on Saturday night, scoring 49 points against the Thunder on 29 shots? His 49 points, the fifth most in a game with fewer than 30 minutes played. In the shot clock era, it marked Curry's 10th 40-point game this season. And again, he didn't even play as that game went on into the fourth quarter. So I wanted to put together this esteemed group to get into the following question. And Big Perk, I will start with you. In all of sports today, is Steph Curry the most entertaining player to watch? That's the question. Kendrick Perkins, what's the answer?
No, he's not, Greeny. He's not the most. He's the most great. He's the greatest show on earth overall, right? When you look at all the shows across television, they're just the circus. You talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta and all this that's going on.
Oh, yeah, they like gosh.
The circus where you can go and watch an elephant stand on one leg or watch a guy get in a cage with a lion. Steph Curry
I've
is
never
Disney
seen an
World.
Stay on
okay,
one day.
He has the magical rides, man. We talking about Toy Story Mania, Space Mountain, and the Avatar ride. Steph Curry is not what he do; it's how he does it, Granny. The wiggle, the flash, chewing on the mouthpiece with it on the side of his mouth. The way that he's running when he shoots
straight off
and going back down the end of the court without looking. He is the greatest show on earth.
All right, so the one thing I've learned about Ryan Clark, he loves arguing with basketball players. Go ahead, RC.
First of all, it's not like the greatest show we've ever even seen in basketball. What he does is he just shoots more threes than we've ever seen anybody shoot. And you said it earlier. At first, you probably ain't like him because he was light-skinned. And then you probably ain't like him because he had light eyes. I get it. We from the South. I know all of those things. And so now you're trying to make up for it. Yeah, he got 10 40-point game shoot. And like 0203, Kobe had 9 straight. I mean, this ain't even more fun than watching Patrick Mahomes run around for 500 yards and throw 2 of the best incompletions we've ever seen. I've seen Kyrie Irving even this year do things with the basketball that are more impressive. Now, if you want to talk about a great show, just tune in to UFC on Saturday night, and anytime Amanda Nunes walks into the octagon, that's a great show. You know why? Because the lights are going to go out. The lights went out one time for Steph Curry in New Orleans this year. That's not how it happens for Amanda Nunes. Every time she steps in, whether it's Cyborg, whether it's Ronda Rousey, no matter who you put in there, they go to sleep. Period. She walks in, she punches you in the face, or she chokes you out, and then she walks out. She grabs her baby, she walks in with her partner, they hug, they kiss, she grabs her 2 belts, champ, champ, she walks out. The Dana Whites tried to figure out who's the next person she gonna smash. That's a show when you can walk out all by yourself. It don't matter. It don't matter if Draymond got 2 points, 27 assists and 14 rebounds, and all of those assists because he did dribble handoffs to you as you ran off the screen. It don't matter. You know why people don't chew on their mouthpiece around Amanda Nunes? Because they need it in their mouth for when she punch them in their face. That's why.
That's funny.
That's why I see the greatest show, Kendrick. It was a great try. You tried it. You did it. He ain't even the greatest show in basketball some days. Just because he's shooting a lot of threes and you enjoy it, then it's cool.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy, Ryan? I love you to death. We from the South. And like the old people say in Louisiana, you don't know no better, baby. God bless your heart. Because right now, you sound like a bona fide hater, okay? You sound like a bona fide hater. We're talking about a guy that's a back-to-back MVP, 2-time MVP, three-time champion, and we're sitting up here right now saying that he's actually playing the best basketball of his career. And you know what else is crazy, Ryan Clark? You will not admit it, but I know every time Steph Curry is on the television, you are watching because you are a basketball fan. And I,
I ain't watching.
Greatness. We listen.
Can I make a point?
Go ahead, Dominique.
So I think that he is fantastic. He is outstanding, but I'm stuck on an elephant standing on one leg. If you show me a show with an elephant on one leg, as you said in the first, that's more entertaining than any of this. I need to see an elephant on one leg. That's one. And also, Kendrick, I'm shocked. Me and RC had a bet off before the show started that I knew you were going to say that Curry was not the most that it was LeBron, even while he's injured. You was going to say LeBron, when he was shooting those fake shots, when he was down in the post, working on his post moves in street clothes, that was more entertaining than anything Steph ever did. So get me LeBron shooting shots with no ball and get me a one-legged elephant, and I'm in on that.
Here's how Kendrick got it right. Big Bird, I'm going to stand up for you. You took the question seriously.
Here's the thing, Big Bird.
I'm sorry I talked over you there. You took the question seriously. He does it with a flair. Steph is doing it right now. It's not about how many points he scores. Right. He's doing it with a flair, and he's doing it in a way. He's not just shooting threes. He's doing it, Big Perk, in a way we've never seen anyone do it before. You okay?
Hey, Granny.
Yeah.
You ever been to First Street Baptist Church? When you start speaking the gospel, Greeny, when you start speaking the gospel, it get hot in there because the AC always tend to go out. And so the old people, they got to raise up the windows and start pulling out their fans. That's what you're doing right now, Greeny.
I need to know why we always giving to the building fund, but the AC still be going out. That's what I need to know. And I'm with you. I'm with you, Kendrick. I'm with you. I see Steph go out there for warm-ups, and I say, won't he do it? Yes, he will. Every night, he goes out there.
Let him use you.
They don't want to let him use him, but he use him anyway. It's not up to you no more. Preach, Greeny. I know you feel the spirit. Do a dance.
Hey, man.
I do.
Amen.
Somehow I seem to have gotten that one right, even if I'm not exactly sure at this moment how. Outstanding, Kendrick. Thank you. Well done. Let's take a short break here as we continue in just a moment. Coming up. If it's not Brady, who would it be? These guys said Brady's not the first pick. They didn't say who it is, but we'll find out next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Thursday, we premiere ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, an unprecedented look at last year's WNBA season in the bubble. It's exec produced by our very own Shanae Agumuke. It explores the season dedicated to social injustice and everything the players overcame to get through it. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, and it'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. Meanwhile, First Take is available immediately following us here on ESPN. When healthy, is Anthony Davis the best big in the world? Plus, would the Knicks season be a failure without a playoff win? Join Molly, Max, and our friend Chris Canty coming up top of the hour right here on ESPN. Meantime, I want to circle back to this. RC had this fascinating tweet where he said Tom Brady is the GOAT, greatest career at the most important position, but would he be the number one overall pick if we put every player from the last 25 years into the same draft? And I thought it was an outstanding tweet because it really did illustrate one of the issues that I've long had with the way these drafts are conducted. People talk themselves out of the best players into the best athletes. So that's Tom Brady couldn't be a better example than that. But what we never got to as we debated this is who would be the first pick. So, Ryan, since it was your concept, I'll start with you. If I gave you the first pick, who would you take?
So it started off with Aaron Rodgers. When I initially made the tweet, I was like, I'd pick Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers, well, y'all know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. And then I was like, well, hell, like Patrick Mahomes is like a souped up Aaron Rodgers with a mohawk. And so, like, that makes him better. Like, he's even really good on the, you know, like the State Farm commercial. And so I was like, well, and then, man, after listening to Graz talk, I said, you know what, RC? Don't overthink this. We got 2+ decades of film. Part of that film is the 50 touchdown year with Randy Moss when you're 18-1. And so I'm going to swing it all the way back around and say, if you don't show me his 40, if you don't show me that picture with his shirt off, and I could just watch 2 decades of great Tom Brady film, I'm going to pick Tom, man. I know, and Zach's favorite word is buku. I know buku people going to think I'm lying, but I would go back and I'd pick Tom. Tom is my first number one overall pick of the last 25 years.
Love it. Neek, how about you?
I was going to say Ryan Clark to build a team around, but I changed my mind because one of the things I liked about Ryan Clark building my team around is he would stand by what he said, and he would be resilient in the locker room. So now I can't build my team around you anymore because you let them bully you and you back down. I'm going with the guy who made Tom Brady throw 50 touchdowns, Randy Moss. Give me any quarterback. I don't care who it is. Give me Randy breaking your defense. I know from personal experience. I do not want to talk about it anymore. Ask Dan Graziano a question, please.
Dan Graziano, I will ask you the same question. Who's your number one pick?
Ooh.
It's Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is the answer. I mean, you look at Mahomes and you imagine a future. We were talking a couple months ago before he lost the Super Bowl, not he, but his team, lost the Super Bowl, about where they renamed the MVP award after him. Greeny, this is your thing, right? Like, Mahomes is now this generational talent that we've never seen the likes of before. I mean, it's 1.21 gigawatts of football every single time this guy's on the field. I just don't see how you can, overlook the talent there.
He's a more reasonable person to choose than any other quarterback because at least he still has a future that could be the equal of what Tom Brady has accomplished. To argue any other quarterback who came before, you run into the problem that Brady just outdid what all of them did. That's Brady also, Dominique, is the only human being alive who not only is better 20 years later, but looks better 20 years later. Brady looks younger
way
now
better
than he did when he came in, right? Any of us disagree?
Who would you take, Greeny?
You're right about all that, but you're oversimplifying it right now. But anyway, who would you take?
Here's who I would take. I didn't think about who I would take because I was setting up the next thing, which I wanted to set up for you guys here, which I would enjoy, which is to say we just talked about someone who looks better than they did back in the day. Let me give you an example of someone who might not fall into that category. Go ahead. You guys have been making Back to the Future references all day long, so we found this for you here. Go ahead, Cindy. Put it up. That is what Biff
That's
looks
Biff?
Like today.
Oh.
What do you think?
Yeah. Oh.
Wow. Biff is aged well.
That's.
I guess that manure that landed on him was good for his skin. He's looking younger.
I guess I would have to take Tom Brady, by the way, now that I think about it. But if I thought about it a little further, maybe I'd go a different direction. Great fun today. Thanks, everybody, for getting up with us here. Thank you for getting up with us here. We'll be back in Better Than Ever tomorrow, but the fun and the conversation continue with First Take right now.